So everyone coming to your site, your institution site, any site in general, is not just a user. They're coming there for a purpose, and that's why you need to think of them as an individual and not as just another number. So a little bit about myself. I'm the Associate Director of Web Communications at Wayne State University in Detroit. I host a video blog called EDU Checkup, and I write for a little blog called .edu Guru. What I'm going to talk to you today about is driving decisions with data. So my background is in computer science, and so I love data. I love analyzing data. I love everything about it, because seeing things come in and analyzing things that are actually real definitely has more value than just kind of making decisions on a whim. And so that's what we try to do as much as possible at Wayne State. We try to try to steer not only like individual decisions about certain design elements, information elements, or how we program something, not just based on opinion, but also based on real data. Often, it's the only thing that can cut through a committee or cut through a big ego on campus, is showing data of real users in real environments to really just kind of bring into the picture that, you know, although you may think one thing, there are others who definitely think differently. So why does an institution have a website? They're really, you know, this has been talked about a lot at the conference. Why is a website even needed? It's definitely not for the design. So students aren't coming to your institution to look at the design of your site. It's definitely not for the photos. You're going to have tons of photos on your site. And they're not coming there to just browse photos. They're coming to your site to look for information. They're coming there for a specific purpose. And they know that purpose, whether they know it consciously or not. They're going there to find out some piece of information. And so we know that as web publishers. We know that we're publishing information for our visitors to consume and for them to have a successful visit at our site. But how come this happens over and over and over again? So if you're not familiar with this XKCD cartoon, over on the left-hand side, it's things the front page of a university, things on the front page of a university website. And on the right-hand side, it's things people go to the site to look for. The only two in common is the full name of the university. So administrators and the people, I don't want to say the people in charge, because that sounds a little weird, because, you know, as web professionals, technically, we're in charge of what gets published to the site. The motivations of the people behind those decisions, unfortunately, aren't always the motivations of the visitor. And so, you know, although we think that campus photo slideshow and a letter from the president are important, students are really coming to find parking information. They're going to find a usable map and things like that. So let's talk a little bit about our website. So this is our site. It's nothing special at all. It was designed a few years ago. It was designed by committee. It does its job, and we work with it. That's just where we're at right now. And so what happens, let's go into some numbers here. So for the past, this is a one-year segment of our numbers. So from September 10, 2009 to till 2010. So in total, in that time frame, we had 8.7 million visits, and those are individual visits, not necessarily visitors. And you know, the majority of them are internal visitors. But we started looking at some other elements within the site. So the actual searches that people, things that people search for on our homepage, we found that the majority of them, almost 700,000. Are coming from those external group. So in total, 11% use of all the visitors use the search on our site. But 25% are from external visitors. And so we started thinking, wow, this is a lot of information that people are searching for on a regular basis. What are they searching for? So we use the standard tools, Google Analytics, Google Webmaster Tools, Crazy Egg to kind of see where people are clicking on our site. And then we started playing. We actually got in the beta of Woopra. I don't know if you've had experience with Woopra before, but it's a real-time analytics for your site. So you can see who's on there, where they came from, where they went, how many times they've been there before, and how long they stayed on every single page. It really gives an insight into a visitor that personalizes it beyond just some number or an aggregate of how many visits this page got at the end of the day or end of the week. But even after using all these tools, we weren't happy. We still felt like there was something going on our search that we didn't know about. So what we ended up doing is, well, we decided we wanted to figure out what every visitor's story is. And the only way to do that was to analyze every visitor, to figure out what they were actually doing and figure out what we weren't providing that they had to search for, you know, almost a million times in a year. So, just gonna go, okay. So every visit starts with a first impression. Whether you're external or an internal visitor, you have different motives. You still go through this same 10-second test. So you figure out, is this site going to have what I'm looking for? Am I confident in its ability to give me the information and in a timely fashion? So is the capability of this page, whether it be the home page or any child page, any page beyond the home page, going to have the information that I'm looking for? So external visitors are pretty easy. They notice the visuals, they orient themselves with the navigation, they scan, and if they're disappointed, they use the search. They're used to it. This is a Google, Google has turned everybody into a Google culture. You know, why bother searching through pages and navigation items and things like that when you can just search for it, and within that first page, you're gonna get something pretty useful. You know, we didn't have that ability before Google was around. Well, we kind of did, but it wasn't inherent into us. And then the internal visitor. So it's another day, it's another dollar. I need to go find XYZ. You know, I've never seen it in the main navigation. I don't have time to explore. I just need to get this information. So they just search for it. They know that they're pretty confident something will come up. Okay, so we thought we knew what our visitors were searching for. We saw our Google reports. We don't have a Google search appliance. We're not that lucky to have the funding for one. So we just use Google custom search, and we use Google Analytics. You can actually track what people are searching for within Google Analytics. So we looked at those every day, and we tried to get an understanding. But what ended up happening is we were still getting kind of aggregate results. So this is kind of what we found that we came up with as far as some searches that would come up kind of not over and over, but really piqued our attention. So what is Wayne State zip code? Well, it's on the footer of every page, and someone's searching for it. Why isn't it apparent to this person? Print out my application I already filled out. So us as, you know, web workers, we know once you start filling out an application, you get to a status page, and that's where you can find out your status, you can print out your application, but that's not always apparent to our visitors. Oopsie. Let's see, like 2010 cost of tuition expenses. These are important things that people are searching for that would never come up in a Google Analytics report, just because they may be just one search. They may be worded 500 different ways, 500 different times, and it would still come up as one single record within Google. And we couldn't make that correlation. You know, what happens if I don't apply for graduation? Well, you won't graduate. You know, how do I prepare for a career fair? There's probably good information out there about this stuff. We just don't think about it when we're producing content. How to register for permission required classes. Where do I send a transcript? Clifford Clark. Who's Clifford Clark? Is that a faculty member? Is that a staff member? Is that someone coming to campus to speak? We don't know. But we see these often, and far more often than we think. And these types of searches wouldn't show up in our kind of aggregated results. So, this is really annoying. It's really slow. So, this is kind of what we see from our top 10 search terms on Google. You know, pipeline, student portal, housing, jobs, campus map, things like that. These come up often, and we struggle with these because, yes, these are pretty prominent on our site. People still search for them. They just kind of do it inherently. They don't want to look at navigation items. So what we did is internally, we kind of added a script to our search box on our top level homepage, plus kind of the 50 to 70 kind of child pages within that. We didn't add it to every single page on every single site because that would be way too much information. Just to kind of see what people are searching for and what page they're on that they search for. And so it would intercept every single search that came in, dump it to a database, and then we created a tool that just kind of showed it to us in real time. So as people were searching for things, they would start showing up on our screen. What we did is we just kind of added it to our secondary monitor. I had everybody in my department do that, just kind of passively look at it all day long. And so we, you know, started noticing some patterns. And so people search for existing sites a lot of the time. They search for housing, they search for financial aid, they search for registrar's office, search for the academic calendar. You know, this happens on a day-to-day basis, and we know those items are really easy to find, but people are still searching for them. And what goes into that search is an actual search, submit, goes to a secondary page with a result, and then they find the result, and then they go off to their actual page that they were really looking for. Same thing with people. So people are looking for other people, whether that be faculty or staff. And unexpected patterns is, you know, we had a lot of people searching for address on our contact us page. And it really kind of stumped us because the address, our location is right in the middle of the page, and people were still searching for address. And we still have not been able to figure that out, why people are doing this. And it comes up every so often. It's not like every day, but you know, there are simple things like that we see over and over. So we started categorizing every single result. So, you know, we wanted to kind of get an idea of what these searches were about. So we went through, well, it was mainly me, almost a million results, and I tried to categorize almost all of them. And so 28% came out to, these are completely rough numbers because I didn't get through every search term, 28% departmental or office sites, 21% programs or requirements, 15% are faculty or staff members, 12% being location stuff, so either an individual building or where to send, like transcripts or something like that, and then 24% other, just random stuff that, you know, could have been, I don't even know, like the hours of, you know, the residence hall being open or the dining hall being open. So what we decided was we need to get a quick fix out there. We weren't happy with someone searching for a departmental site, jumping to a search results page, and then getting them to the site that they were looking for. So we decided, you know, we took 2 or 3 hours and we implemented auto-suggest on our search. So we have a site index. We started modifying our site index to include every site that we knew, our main departmental sites, and then we had an official title with them, and then a whole list of also known as titles. So that, you know, we know the recreation and fitness center as recreation and fitness center, but students may think of it as just the gym. And so we started categorizing all of our official site index things so that when someone starts typing in, like, calendar on our search, it comes up with the drop-down of academic calendar, the events calendar, admissions calendar. And as someone, they can use their mouse or they can use a keyboard, go down, click on one of those items, and it goes directly to that site. No need for a search results page. So after implementing this, we found that 35% of users started using auto-select.
35% of which users?
35% of users that searched. Okay. So of all of the searches that were happening, 35% of them we funneled directly to the departmental site or the school and college site or like academic calendar. So we had some special pages out there that we knew people were looking for. So this directly skipped that results page. So it took one less step for a user to find information that they were looking for. So, second example. First week of classes, we started seeing spikes of these terms. Class schedule, campus map, academic calendar, bookstore, and driving directions. These things we found out through the search that were really important. We kind of knew that students needed this information anyways, but we didn't really know until we started seeing how many people were searching for these items. It's a big traffic web traffic day the first week of classes. And so, you know, these searches just kind of flew in. We had at least 4 or 5 a second that were coming in here. So our institution is 33,000 students about, and most of them, we're an urban university, so most of them commute. We only have maybe 10% of students that live on campus. So driving directions, parking, getting to scheduling classes is always a big thing. So what we did is, this does not work here. All right, so I don't think I have another picture of this. What we did is, what was that?
Can you turn the light off up there?
I don't know what I can do. What I'll do is, let me skip back to our homepage real quick. So what we did is, in this space here, we could have just taken over the homepage with these few items, because we knew that this wasn't a recruitment day. It wasn't a day that students were coming to look for open house information. We could have taken most of the space away from our traditional homepage and put these really important resources up there, but we couldn't really do that. And so what we did is we took this section here, we moved it down, and we put a big bar down here for first week resources. And we put these items right out on the page so that someone coming to the site could just quickly click on one and not have to use the search. We thought this was a pretty good idea. So this is actually a heat map of the site with the those elements on it. And you can see a couple of them were starting to get quite a few clicks. And actually, it was kind of my fault. I set this up in Crazy Egg for 10,000 visits. And we ended up using them all in 3 hours, and almost 4 hours. And so it was a pretty good representation of how many people clicked on it. But within those 3 hours, we ended up with almost 11,000 clicks. It sounds weird, but because we also track, we have movable elements on the page, so clicks don't necessarily mean that someone's going to jump to another page. And we also track non-active clicks. So if you click on a background element or something that looks like a link but really isn't a link, those also get tracked. So anyways, in the week, we got quite a few clicks through these elements. And actually, we've had a lot of good feedback from students that said that they were surprised that we were kind of taking the initiative to give them things that we were kind of forward thinking in what they were needing. And so to us, that was really important. And without seeing these kind of real-time search results, we would not have been able to do this. You know, we would have looked at our Google Analytics report the next day, or I think it's updated per hour or something like that, and we would have kind of guessed, oh, look, a lot of people are searching for driving directions, which doesn't usually come up on a day-to-day basis, because once you know how to get to campus, it's pretty much the same way every day. And so we would have been a day late or a few days late. And to us, this was really important to show that we were really reacting to students' needs. Unfortunately, though, we get a lot of clicks on our homepage, and this was only 0.13% of all the clicks on the homepage, but it showed us that this information in a timely manner was definitely important. We only had these up for a week. September 1st through 7th. So for us, the typical search experience is kind of cumbersome as it currently sits. And what we've been learning through looking at each of these search terms, through kind of talking mining through all this data, really what it comes down to, is that we need to make changes, but we can't make drastic changes. So we're trying to move, we're using this data to move our site in a direction that is more useful one thing at a time. That way we can test each thing individually, where, and then we can see how it overall impacts the search results, or the search, what people are searching for, and how they're searching for it. And at the same time, kind of keep movement on the site. So we weren't planning on doing something like running a 6-month study, doing a final, 20-page report on what we learned, and then having some action items, putting together a committee. We weren't concerned with any of that. These things were what were important to us, moving the site in a direction, in an incremental direction as we went on, and learning from those different changes. So this is kind of how our search looks right now. If someone does a search result, search for computer science, it goes to just kind of an iframe with Google custom search inside of it. It looks really bad. It's really kind of clunky. The search results don't start to like halfway down the site. We don't really have a lot of control over what is in there because we don't have a Google search appliance. So we work with what we have. And what we do have is other databases of important information that these students are looking for. Some of that information is events. Some of it is classes. Some of it is building information. Some of it is faculty, staff, or other student information. So what we decided to do is change the search page. We're actually using Google's custom search API, I believe, to pull in web results. So these are the same web results in a little bit skinnier column. But then on the side here, we're using this space to put in, so if you search for computer science, that same search has events that are going on that are either computer science related in the title, have the tags on it, computer science classes that come up, the buildings which computer science classes are being held in, and then below here, which actually I didn't add, is faculty and anybody who is teaching in computer science. And so this, what we're doing is taking a page which right now is really clunky, because we learned that these are the most popular categories of things that people search for, regardless of how they search, because we can't control that. We started to add these kind of really, I guess, compartmentalized and easy to digest areas where they can get to information as quickly as possible. Because for us as web publishers, that is what they're looking for, and that is how, no matter how they get there, we need to get them there as quickly as possible. Because we can't dictate how they use our site. They're used to using Google. They're used to using tools that find them information, or even they're used to finding information through the non-official channels, I guess you would say. All right, so as we go through this, I just wanted to bring up, this is kind of, this is our blog that we write about all of these changes on. So this presentation will actually be up on the blog after this talk, and you'll be able to see actual, every time we change the site, we have, why we changed the site, what we did, how we tested it, the results of those tests, and kind of, an area for people to leave feedback. And so this is really important for us to get campus community buy-in. A lot of these changes that we do, especially on the search results page, traditionally have affected multiple people. So, if you do have a Google search appliance, it may not be your department that manages it. And you wanted to, say, change that results page, you're going to have to work with multiple departments. And they may not want to start a new project with you because you had a hunch that people might be searching for this or that, or there's a need for this change. And so having that data is definitely the best way to back up what you're basically going to be changing on your site. So now it's your turn. Something that I unfortunately did not get 100% done before this presentation, but I'm going to have it done pretty soon, is the ability for you guys to be able to do this on your site. And so It's something that I have kind of started. It's right now, the site is queryspy.com. What is there right now is just kind of a sign-up page for me to get people who are interested in looking at search results on your site in real time. And so I'm not exactly sure how this is going to develop, but I know that it was really important for our department to see this information. And I know if you've watched EDU Checkup, if you read .edu Guru, or anything that I've been a part of, I'm a huge fan of sharing data, sharing information, because we can all learn from each other. We're all in similar situations. And this type of information is so crucial to those one-person departments that have zero budget and, you know, they run a ton of stuff. Finding this information out is definitely in their best interest, and it can make their lives better. You know, I've had I'd have at least a dozen people tell me that after their review, like doing the review of their site on EDU Checkup, that pushed their administration to give them more resources. And so it's really kind of a, not misunderstanding, but it's more of getting the understanding of what is required of a web department to fully function, to give a good experience to your users. It takes resources. And this data is definitely going to help that. So data driving decisions is what it's all about. We collect as much data as we can as a department, although we don't look at every single piece of it. We know it's there. It's at our fingertips. And if we need to analyze something, we analyze it. And start watching. Well, if you can start watching that data come in, the better and more prepared you'll be to either defend or make changes. And then the better prepared you're going to be when you're actually implementing any web solutions, because you have an idea of the context in what you're producing. So I just wanted to give two shout outs to this higher ed analytics that Corrine is doing, which is really cool. It's a bunch of higher ed institutions who are sharing their base analytics on a monthly basis. And so basically crowdsourcing how people, average click-through rates to applications, average homepage bounce rates, things like that, that although you see it for your own institution, seeing it in a broader sense gives a better understanding of the picture. And then I always follow Trending Upward, which is a really good blog about sharing analytics, higher ed analytics. All right, and that's my talk. If any of you guys have questions, feel free to ask, and the slides and everything will be up on our web communications blog after this. Yes?
What were you using to get the data to your own results side by side with Google? Is that some JavaScript stuff?
Yes. So this page.
To search term somehow.
Yeah. So this page actually is. So Google Custom Search allows you to have. So there's a couple ways that you can display the results, and one of them is actually just through an AJAX call. And so we're taking this search. This is actually put in here with Google's API. So it's just like one line of JavaScript, and it like puts that search box on your site. And then you just give it like, I think, an ID of an area to dump all the results into. And so we're just dumping it into this area here. This page, unfortunately, it doesn't look as pretty without JavaScript on. And so that's why this hasn't been launched yet. And also there's some style issues that we're just kind of not working on yet because the functionality is not there 100%. But we do have a few users using this, you know, that we trust to see it, to basically analyze how useful this is. And so yeah, Google is actually kind of pulling that just with an AJAX request and shoving it onto into a div. Yes. So this, it's using one JavaScript request, and actually each of these elements load in separately. So although we have all of this information like in like kind of like shallow databases that are really close to this page so that it's not hitting like super live data, there it's actually pulling it live. Yes.
Last time I looked at the Google search terms of use, which was a year or so ago, it precluded
That's a good question. I don't know. So
well,
that... Yeah. Well, if you don't tell them, I won't. And so.
That's pretty common functionality in Google search appliance, adding one box. Sure, the appliance can do that, but with this particular tool, my understanding of the terms of use was that they didn't launch.
Okay. That's something that I need to look into then. And so I will probably be writing about that on the blog. Oh, you do it also? All right. And no one said anything, then I think we're safe. Unless you're getting like 100,000, you know, search terms every minute, you'll be fine. Yeah, they have a lot more to worry about. Yes?
How does the auto select work? Is that 100%?
So yeah, the auto select is actually, we did a jQuery, it's a jQuery plugin called auto suggest. And so it's, what it does is, you just give it like an ID of your actual input box, and it will send it to a page as an AJAX request, and then you do whatever processing you want on your end and send back JSON to the actual script, and it will format it in like what title and URL and stuff like that. So you can actually even manipulate the URLs in there to have like Google campaign codes or something, you know, like have those types of tracking inside of those click-throughs. Yes? Yeah, that's a tough one. And so that's what we have like a student minion for. So every week, one of his recurring tasks is to go to the site index page and use like the link checker Firefox plugin to make sure all of those links work. There's, I believe, I want to say like 3,500 links on there. And so that's one of his tasks every week. No, there's a Firefox plugin called like Link Checker or something. And it just like highlights any of the ones that aren't working in red.
Pinger?
I don't know. There's probably a lot. Okay, so Pinger is the plugin. But yeah, no, he doesn't physically click them. That would be horrible. Yes?
When you do those specialized links during registration, like your driving directions and things like that,
yeah.
Do you get a lot of complaints when you take them back out again?
We haven't heard of any complaints. And so if people are complaining, they're not telling us. And so we monitor Twitter quite a bit and Facebook and everything like that. And so people aren't complaining when they're gone. And I think because we labeled them first week resources, I think that kind of yielded that they're not going to be here forever. So I think we used that wording on purpose so that people didn't think that it was a permanent feature of the homepage. Yes?
I heard you mentioned you have a student portal.
We do have a student portal. I don't know if I mentioned it. But
something about Pipeline?
Yes, Pipeline is our student portal.
Right.
And so... Yes, and
my question is,
yes.
Are you carrying this across to portal?
No.
Are you replacing
any of this functionality? No, we are not, mainly because the portal is not in our like domain of control. So we just have been trying to impact what we control. And we'll, as we probably roll this out a little bit more to kind of the school and college level websites, because those also get a large amount of traffic, we will probably look at the portal and other pieces of software that students use on a regular basis. But they do use, that's like their number one task when they come to our homepage, is to log in to either Pipeline, the webmail, or Blackboard. And so that's probably why they're searching for it often. And so having these quick link or the auto suggestion here was a huge benefit for those people, because they didn't have to hit that intermediary page. Any other questions? Yeah. Yeah, so during graduation week, during registration, so like when there is
like when registration starts. So like I think the winter semester classes just came up, just went up, and then maybe in a week or so the registration will actually begin. And what we'll do is we won't take over this whole like middle section. We would just maybe, we kind of use this for like recruitment, and so we might kind of move that down a little bit and have like a special box inside of there. Or we might, I've kind of been experimenting with this, but I haven't seen, I don't know, I'm not happy with it. If someone actually does select that search box, even without clicking, without typing anything, having a few like quick things like that, that are time sensitive, up in that box automatically before they actually even start typing. But when we kind of tested it internally, it just kind of felt really clunky, and so we didn't go and put that on there. Anybody else? I kind of went faster than I thought. What I can do is actually, what time does this go till?
3:30.
3:30? Okay, we have a couple minutes. What I was going to do is bring up the actual, so this is kind of, so you guys can actually see in real time kind of what we see. And this doesn't have all the features in it, so like all the categorization and stuff like that was done on a different tool than this. This will actually show, hopefully this is actually still working. I didn't see anything. So like, we see like that one just came in, payroll. It was from an internal computer, and they were searching from the actual homepage. Thanks. And so, like this Wayne and you financial aid page from an external person searching for financial aid. These are the types of things that like kind of confuse us, and we don't know why people are searching for these types of things, but. Oh, I think this is being weird in Chrome because it's like showing double results. But those are the types of things that we see, you know, every once in a while. And so what we'll do is, like on that financial aid page, we'll like change the page and we'll mark like what we changed and on what day. And then we'll try to see if those kind of drop off, those anomalies in searches kind of drop off. But we wouldn't know about those without being able to see this. Yeah, the next biggest thing that we have found is that like on our programs page, which lists all of our degree programs, people are using the search on the top of that page to find a program. And so we haven't been able to find a good, well, I haven't been happy with some of the designs that the designers have come up with to be able to have two search boxes on the page and have the user kind of only know that the one within the page content searches within, say, programs. And so that's our next biggest hurdle. All right, enough of this. All right. Sweet. All right, if there's no other questions, I'm going to be around, and if anyone has any even implementation questions, I'm happy to answer them. Yes?
I was just going to say, I think the reason
yeah.
I mean, if we had some other element that every single website had, people would probably use it.
Mm-hmm.
Search, everybody uses search, everybody knows how to use it.
Exactly.
So that's, even if you're on a contact page, they're searching for an address.
Yeah.
It just works.
Yeah, the thing that we didn't want to do, oh, I don't want this to be up here. The one thing that we didn't want to happen was somebody be on the contact page looking for an address, getting to a search results page, and then going back to the Contact Us page. And so those are the types of things that we've really found were the most detrimental to the user experience, because that only frustrates them that I was just on this page and they're going to be in this never-ending loop. And yeah, that's one thing that we definitely did not want to happen. But without seeing this data, we would have no idea. Cool. Thank you, guys.